which was run almost entirely by the dwarfs, was hard at work on Gold Diggers of 1457, which was going to be followed by The Gold Rush. Floating Bladder Pictures was hard at work with Turkey Legs, and Borgles was packed out.
Well, I don't know what it's called, but we're doing one about going to see a wizard. Something about following a yellow sick toad,
a man in one half of a lion suit explained to a companion in the queue.
No wizards in Holywood, I thought.
This one's all right. He's not very good at wizarding.
So, what's new?
Sound. That was the problem. Alchemists toiled in sheds all over Holywood, screaming at parrots, pleading with minor birds, constructing intricate bottles to trap sound and bounce it around harmlessly until it was time for it to be let out. To the sporadic boom of octocellulose exploding was added the occasional sob of exhaustion or scream of agony as an enraged parrot mistook a careless thumb for a nut. The parrots weren't the success they'd hoped for. It was true that they could remember what they had heard and repeat it after a fashion, but there was no way to turn them off, and they were in the habit of ad-libbing other sounds they'd heard, or, Dibbler suspected, had been taught by mischievous handlemen. Thus, brief snatches of romantic dialogue would be punctuated with cries of,
"Wah! Show us your knickers!"
And Dibbler said he had no intention of making that kind of picture, at least at the moment. Sound. Whoever got sound first would rule Holywood, they said. People were flocking to the cliques now, but people were fickle. Colour was different. Colour was just a matter of breeding demons who could paint fast enough. It was sound that meant something new. In the meantime, there were stopgap measures. The dwarf studio had shunned the general practice of putting the dialogue on cards between scenes and had invented subtitles, which worked fine, provided the performers remembered not to step too far forward and knock over the letters. But if sound was missing, then the screen had to be filled from side to side with a feast for the eyes. The sound of hammering was always Holywood's background noise, but it redoubled now. The cities of the world were being built in Holywood. Untied alchemists started it, with a 1/10 size wood and canvas replica of the Great Pyramid of Tussaud. Soon the back lots sprouted whole streets in Ankh-Morpork, palaces from Pseudopolis, castles from the Hublands. In some cases, the streets were painted on the back of the palaces, so that princes and peasants were separated by one thickness of painted sacking. Victor spent the rest of the morning working on a one-reeler. Ginger hardly said a word to him, even after the obligatory kiss when he rescued her from whatever it was Morrie was supposed to be today. Whatever magic Holywood worked on them, it wasn't doing it today. He was glad to get away. Afterwards, he wandered across the back lot to watch them putting Laddie the Wonder Dog through his paces. There was no doubt, as the graceful shape streaked like an arrow over obstacles and grabbed a trainer by a well-padded arm, that here was a dog almost designed by nature for moving pictures. He even barked photogenically.
"And do you know what he's saying?" said a disgruntled voice beside Victor. It was Gaspode, a picture of bow-legged misery.
"No, what?"
"Me, Laddie... Me, good boy, laddie," said Gaspode. "Makes you want to throw up, doesn't it?"
"Yes, but could you leap a 6-foot hurdle?" said Victor.
"That's intelligent, is it?" said Gaspode.
"I always walk around."
"What's that they're doing now?"
"Giving him his lunch, I think."
"They call that lunch, do they?"
Victor watched Gaspode stroll over and peer into the dog's bowl. Laddie gave him a sideways look. Gaspode barked quietly. Laddie whined. Gaspode barked again. There was a lengthy exchange of yaps. Then Gaspode strolled back and sat down beside Victor.
"Watch this," he said.
Laddie took the food bowl in his mouth and turned it upside down.
"Disgusting stuff," said Gaspode. "All tubes and innards. I wouldn't give it to a dog, and I am one."
"You made him tip out his own dinner?" said Victor, horrified.
"Very obedient lad, I thought," said Gaspode smugly.
"What a nasty thing to do."
"Oh, no. I'll give him some advice, too."
Laddie barked peremptorily at the people clustering around him. Victor heard them muttering.
"Dog don't eat his dinner," came Detritus's voice. "Dog go hungry."
"Don't be daft. Mr. Dibbler says he's worth more than we are."
"Perhaps it's not what he's used to. I mean, a posh dog like him and all is a bit yucky, isn't it?" "It's dog food. That what dogs are supposed to eat?"
"Yeah, but is it wonder dog food? What are wonder dogs fed on?"